Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Thurman Scrivener again today with the Living Savior Ministries. Let's come to the Heavenly Father. Father, we praise you and worship you and thank you for your magnificence, for this word, for the living word of the living God that we have, that we can study so we can learn about who we are, who you are, what makes you work, what makes us work. And Lord, we thank you and praise you for this magnificent book, the Owner's Manual, that teaches us about the true things of the Word of God. Now, Father, I ask you to bless the Word today as it goes out. May everybody that hear it be blessed. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, today we're going to do a little recouping here on 1 Peter chapter 5. We've been talking about this, but now then today we're talking here. We're going to start off here in verse 4. And it says, "And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." Now then, if we'll do what the Lord says, feed the flock of God, and we'll walk in obedience to His Word, and do what He says, we will receive this magnificent crown of glory. Now there are five different crowns laid out in the Word of God which we can receive if we'll meet the criteria. This happens to be one of them. And this is when you'll get it. When the chief shepherd, which is Jesus, shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Then he says in verse 5, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the older. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and he gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist, steadfast in the truth, or in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." Now then, the thing about it is, when we think about we meet all this criteria, and I know many people that have met all of this criteria down through these scriptures here we read in 1 Peter 5. But when he comes down to the part of resist the devil, and he will flee from you, it's amazing how many people don't understand the devil. And I didn't either. For many years, I had no knowledge of who the devil was. I had no knowledge of what he did. He has done a very, very, very good job on us of deceiving us as to who we are and who he is. First of all, he's deceived us where we don't realize that we are sons and daughters of the King. That our King defeated him, Satan, 2,000 years ago and completely defeated him. And he technically has absolutely no power over us anymore on this earth. But most of us are like I was. I didn't know that. So by not knowing that, the enemy beat up on me big time. I didn't realize that sickness and disease, every bit of it, comes from the devil. There's absolutely no sickness and disease on this earth that did not come from the devil and his wicked nature. That nature that lives in us, it brings forth stealing, killing, and destroying. And all that comes from the enemy. But I didn't know that. But when I began to understand who the enemy is, and he's the one that causes all these problems between man and woman, between husband and wife. He's the one that creates the problems. All wars and all these things are instigated by the enemy. But the Lord told us, resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brothers that are in the world. So if we resist the devil, he says, your adversary, of course, he definitely is our adversary, and he is the devil, and he is as a roaring lion walking about, seeking whom he may devour. Well, I've come to realize that the one that's going to stop him is you. I used to not realize when I used to pray for the Lord to heal people and do things, I didn't realize that really all I had to do was rebuke the devil and command him to leave in the name of Jesus, and then the people would get well. Now then, after you get the sins of a person confessed, because that's how the devil gets legal right to come in, through sin. So if you walk holy before God, you open no doors. And the Word of God clearly says that many places in the Word of God that if in Psalms 91, Proverbs 19, 1 John 5:18, but many places where that if you do not walk in evil, the evil one cannot touch you. He cannot touch you. And since he's the one that brings sickness and disease, then you can realize that he's trying to slip up on your blind side and he's trying to deceive you. But you don't have to receive it. But we've been asking God to do something about the devil. And the Lord has done everything he's going to do with the devil. 2,000 years ago, he defeated him. He destroyed him and his power. And he gave you and me all power and authority over him. So when we learn that, that means that when the enemy tries to come upon us with sickness or disease or attack one of our families or anything else, we literally drive out the enemy with the Word of God, drive the beast out, and praise the Lord and thank him for his promises, and we get healed. We don't have to allow that devil to come upon us and do these bad things to us. But the Lord says there in verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. In other words, he's going to devour or try his best to devour everyone he comes in contact with. But as he tries his best to devour you, the Lord clearly says, whom resists steadfast in the faith. How do you do that? You take the Word of God and you take the promises of God and you quote them to the devil, and you demand that he leave you in the name of Jesus. Now then, when you do that, it says, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a little while, will make you perfect, established, strengthened, and he will settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now by Salvanius, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein ye stand. The church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you, and so does Marcus, my son. Greet you one another with a kiss of love. Peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Now that's the end of 1 Peter chapter 5. It's all over there. Now we're going to go directly into 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 1. Now this 2 Peter is an awesome book. Just like many of the books of the New Testament, they are awesome books. But listen to this. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Now I got to stop there and talk about that verse. That verse is awesome. He said, I am a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, and I'm writing this letter to them that have obtained like precious faith. Like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Now that we obtain this righteousness by faith through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. And all we had to do was believe. When we believe and receive what is already ours, we can obtain this like precious faith. What does Peter mean here when he says to them that have obtained like precious faith? Can you get any idea what he means or thinks when he says to them that have obtained like precious faith? Well, let me give you a quick overview of the kind of faith that Peter's talking about. Let's go back to Acts chapter 3, and it says, now Peter and John went up together unto the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes on him, with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And the people saw him walking and praising, and they knew it was him which had set for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And the lame man was healed. And as the lame man which was healed helped Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marveled you at this? Or why look so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his Son, Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One, and you killed the Prince of Life, whom God has raised up from the dead. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." Now think about that. "And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong." Now what can you do with faith? Well, it's just like last night. A little lady called me, and she was having trouble. She had having trouble in her back and her leg. Something was really bothering her, had tremendous pain. And her husband had been listening to some of my audio and video tapes. And her husband told her, said, "Well, honey, why don't you just do what Thurman does? Why don't you rebuke the pain and command it to leave?" So she said, "I did, and nothing happened." I asked my husband if he would do it. So he did it, and nothing happened. So she called me, and she said, "What is wrong?" I said, "You just don't have the faith that you need yet." I said, "But you're getting there, but it'll take a while." I said, "Faith doesn't come overnight. It comes by continuing to study the Word of God." She said, "Sir, Thurman, she said, Jesus just doesn't love me." I said, "Oh, yeah, he loves you." I said, "Now I'm going to prove to you he loves you." I said, "Father, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke her pain and I command it to leave in the name of Jesus." And immediately she burst into tears, just crying. After she settled down a minute, I said, "What's wrong?" She said, "He does love me." I said, "Of course he does. But what made the difference?" She said, "When you rebuked the pain, it went away. I was instantly healed." I told her, "Of course, because God's Word, as you build your faith, you become a possessor of this like precious faith that Peter's talking about here in 2 Peter chapter 1. And it's so awesome to step into that realm of that like precious faith. Praise the King of the universe. His name is Jesus. I invite you to call me 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. And we'll be happy to send you video and audio tapes. Or you can contact us on the web at www.tlsm.org. And there we'll be happy to send you tapes. We also have a healing school 2 times a month. It's all on our website. We teach people how to walk in divine health. Come and expecting the Lord to do a miracle for you. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ.